We are talking about coming to an end of a series on creation versus evolution. We have pointed out that while the world seems to be pretty settled on this, there is a reason far beyond science that causes this. And that is right from the very beginning, as soon as Darwin's theory became popular. And by the way, scientifically, Darwin's concepts have gone the way. Nobody believes, he was thinking that if you use a part of your body more, then it will become bigger and stronger in the generations. They were always predicting that the little finger was little because we didn't use it much and it was going to get smaller and smaller until it finally disappeared. And of course, that hasn't happened. All of the buried, fossil record and so on, little finger's always been a little finger. I think it was made for the piano players that had a big, strong grip of that note on the end. But all of that to say, nobody holds to that anymore. The somatic cells, the body cells, it doesn't matter how much you use them, it doesn't affect reproduction at all. It has to be the genetic cells. And so they pretty much have come down to the randomness of chaos, cosmic rays, little particles bombarding our planet and hitting and knocking out of place some of the genetic structure, and so changing, so random changes happening to people's genetics. And the idea is that over a period of time, some of them were made bigger and stronger and more ferocious or something, and so they were better to live, so they kind of mated with each other. If there happened to be two of them that were hit in the same way, that helped it out. And so the bigger and stronger survived. All of that, Darwin just came up with an idea that we don't have to have God in this thing. It can just happen by accident, naturally. And that was welcome news to those, and they were not bashful in saying it. They're saying, now nobody can tell us what we can do, when we want to have sex and when we don't, and all this kind of stuff. And they were just saying, now we've got rid of God. Now we don't have to feel guilty about doing whatever we want. And that's the reason evolution has been settled in, because people don't want to admit that there is a God and that we're going to have to deal with him, and he's going to have to deal with us. We end our series, short series, on this because there's too much to say to go into detail, and there are great references. Last I checked, and I thought to do this, but I haven't done it yet, but last I checked on the internet, I always did a search, In the Beginning Brown. It was easy to remember because it sounds so strange, and Brown, B-R-O-W-N, but the doctor, scientific doctorate, a man named Brown, has written a thing, In the Beginning, and he just continued. He would publish it from time to time, and I think even now you can send in and ask for a bound book on it. I've done that once, and it's well worth having, but he intended it to be an online thing, that as he's studied and found new things, and as he researched and found new things, he would put it on there. So In the Beginning by Dr. Brown, not the one from Back to the Future. Another one with not as funny looking hair. And this guy, quite good. He's done some special speculation about the Genesis flood that seems to make sense, and in fact has predicted the fact that under many of the mountains there would be found remnant of water trapped in rocks and so on under the mountains, and that was his theory, and then it turned out to be true whenever it has been discovered. So it kind of leads, gives some credence to his scientific theories. Also, just fascinating to read. He talks about the concept of water under super pressure. You know, water doesn't compress. Hydraulic works are all based on that idea. But he said water trapped beneath the earth was under a great deal of pressure, and he's done a lot of study on this, that kind of water has special characteristics. But then at the time of the flood, when it says that the fountains of the deep were opened up, probably the Mariana Trench, something like that, the deepest part of the ocean, probably that's where the crack occurred, and that water from all around under the mantle of earth found a way out there, and it began rushing and spewing. Meteorites that have fallen back to earth, they've just found out that it's pretty much just same stuff as earth. And his theory is that they were actually parts of the structure that was holding the mantle up where the water was, that got swept away with a sudden rush of the water and were blown out into space. In fact, the difference between the two sides of the moon, you know that the side of the moon that we see is the only side because it turns just as it goes around. So we always see the same face of the moon. And it's all pitted, but the other side isn't. It has some, but not nearly like the side facing the earth. His theory is that the meteorites were blasted off right then, many of them hitting the moon, and that the ark finally comes back, and then they come back to earth. So fascinating reading, and you want to take your time and go through it. And it's divided into very logical sections of what he's talking about. Some of the most interesting to me were all the evidences that we do not live on an ancient earth, but a relatively young earth, just thousands of years old, and not even 1 million, but much less billions. And he's not talking about philosophy here. He's talking about the scientific measurement of things that cannot go back beyond a few thousand years. We want to look at this more theologically, perhaps philosophically, as we close, because the damage done by evolution to science, I find great, because now the very thing that spurred the Enlightenment, the very thing that spurred scientific growth, was the people who believed that things were logical, that the earth was made in a logical way. This is one of the things they can't explain. If it was all created by chaos, why do things make sense at all? How can we find scientific laws and processes? You know, why does this make sense? It shouldn't make sense if it all came out of chaos. It should just happen, just be. And but they had a belief that there was a God who designed it, who put it together, and they were looking to think God's thoughts after him. They were excited about a scientific discovery that recognized this is how God did this. This is how God intended it. After they lost that, now we see science is not about trial and error and observation. Now, so much of what is being talked about is just consensus of opinion. And, you know, let's vote on it and see if it's true. What sense does this make, you know? I always like the story of the fourth graders who found a baby kitten out on recess and brought it in. And so they gave it to the teacher. They said, is it a boy kitten or a girl kitten? And the teacher discreetly looked over the kitten, but it was too small, couldn't tell. She says, I can't tell. And one little girl says, can we vote on it? Well, of course you can, but it's not going to change the gender of the kitten. Reality, truth, is the way things really are, whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not. There is a way things really are, whether you know it or not, whether you accept it or not. And this is the thing that we've lost in science. now almost, you know, every time you hear that these things are millions and billions of years old, just count on the fact that this was never proven, in fact, could not be proven, and is just assumed. Now, you know, and I see this where there are foods that people have come out with called paleo foods. You know, this is the food that we were intended to eat when we were cavemen. You know, and I don't trust this at all. You know, this is a nutritional guide based on a wrong theory. I don't know whether they just thought that was a cool name or actually did any research on this at all, but if they did, it would be wrong. Beating around the bush, but the point here is that there are consequences for believing falsehood. And what we're seeing today, if you are aware, if you are not limited in how who gives you your news information, there is an increase across the nation in lawlessness. Entire gangs coming into stores and just looting and stealing and leaving, and nothing basically being done about it. You recognize the increase of murders and the shootings and all these things that, if you're paying attention to this at all, the increase in mass murders. People just want to go out with a bang and kill a lot of people and have their name on the internet, since nobody reads newspapers anymore. But anyway, that's the why is this going on? Why, when, you know, as I was growing up, it was just after Abraham Lincoln died. You know, the worst crimes in our classrooms was the kid was caught chewing gum, passing notes, you know. And today it's plotting to kill the teacher. You know, it's crazy stuff. They're selling drugs and so on. They're knifing people in the hallways. Something has changed. Well, let me explain to you what that is. Let's look then at evolution destroys morality. Consider the different worldviews of the Christian and the secular humanist. Now, without going into the definition, but secular humanist is one who calls himself a humanist because the human is the value of all things, and secular because they do not think that God had anything to do with it, therefore it implies the evolutionary theory. So sometimes I'll call them secular humanist, sometimes I'll call them evolutionist, because the secular humanism, I'm thinking of more of the social thinking of their way of thinking, and the evolutionists, their origin thinking. So we're going to contrast the basic worldview of the Christian, and then a little different color, the basic worldview of the secular humanist. And so it's difficult how to do this on a PowerPoint. So I decided to do it this way, back and forth, left and right. So let's just follow through on this. Christians believe that God's written word is true. You say, well, not all Christians believe that. Well, not all Christians believe it to the extent that you and I do, because we just take what God said, that it was inspired of God, that it was outbreathed by God, and that means that he superintended the writing of it to where what was written was exactly what he wanted to say, as if he had spoken to you personally. Now, you depart from that very much, and you're no longer a Christian, because you no longer have the Bible to understand what the gospel is. You see, I'm not being picky here. I'm just saying the gospel is from the Word of God. And if you do not believe in the gospel, you're not saved. You may call yourself Christian, but what that means is you go to some church that calls itself Christian. Even the Mormon church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you see. And they don't even believe Jesus Christ is what the Bible says. So all of that to say, the Christians, and if you're truly a Christian, then you believe that God's written word is true. However, secular humanism believes that science has proved the Bible wrong. That means we cannot take morality directly from God in the Bible. That implies that we have to find, if there's any morality at all, and some of them argue against that, we should just let it happen. People want to kill each other, let them kill each other, and we'll be done with them, you see. Then somebody else gets a bigger gun and kills the murderers, and so finally somebody's going to be on top, and that's evolution, you see. So you have to come up with another reason for morality. I think most people think there should be some morality, but what's the basis? And let me just summarize that by saying this. If I declare, if I'm a human and I declare to you a morality that you have to keep, why should you do what I say? Well, unless you absolutely agree with my reasoning, you would say, well, I have as much right to believe to what's right and wrong as he does. See? So then for me to enforce it, I have to say, do what I do or I'm going to hurt you. I have to take the bully attitude and say, you'll be sorry if you don't do what I say. And that's what it comes down to. The government establishing something, not because it's right, not because it's God's word, not because it's beneficial to everybody, but because that's what the government says. And if you don't do it, you'll get hurt, you see. And this is where we are today. Then Christians understand that a personal God created all things. Went to a wedding yesterday, a couple of interesting things, but one of the things afterwards, they were dancing in the gymnasium of the church, and one of the music was one of my favorites. What's his name, the trumpeter, the sang What a Wonderful World?
Louis Armstrong.
Who?
Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, Louis Armstrong. And so, but I happened to go to the restroom during that time. But anyway, lovely song. Another interesting thing was that the girl marched down the aisle to the tune of Little Mermaid's Kiss the Girl, if you're familiar with that at all. A little odd. So anyway, I was there. And personal God created all things. The evolutionists believe the universe happened by accident. Now, there's a great concept difference here, and that is you need to recognize that why should we be concerned about anybody else? Why should we help somebody who needs help? Well, if everything is created by God, then we have a standard set for us. If not, then who cares, you see? The universe happened by accident. That means that nothing you do in your life matters at all. That it doesn't count for anything. Because you're going to die, and everything that you've done essentially dies with you unless somebody else picks it up. That all the effort, all the work, all the study, or whatever it is that you put into your life job was just you fooling yourself. You should have just stuck your gun in somebody and got some money and go live on a beach someplace. This is the difference between these philosophies. Christians believe the Creator has rightful authority over their lives. The Maker has the authority over the things made. Secular evolutionists or secular humanists conclude that human reasoning is their only authority. Well, now the morality is based on who can outthink the other guy. One of the things I'm hearing now is that evolution is evolving the natural predator in humans. That they are superior because they can kill other people. Christians know that every race is equal before God because the only race we recognize is the human race. And so all of us came from the loins of Adam and Eve, and from Noah and his sons and their wives. what we call the races today, or somebody calls them, that are just descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah and their wives. And probably the differences in our so-called races are more geological than biological, because just people of a certain characteristics would flourish in one area or another, and as they intermarried, they took on certain characteristics. Evolutionists may conclude certain races have not evolved as much as others. This was certainly true in the beginning. The lady who was instrumental in beginning the abortionist movement, Planned Parenthood, was working alongside the theories of Hitler that we need to work carefully at getting rid of the lesser races. Hitler wanted to eliminate the Jews and the blacks and gypsies, or whatever race that might be. He was against them all. He wanted to kill them all. And that would hybridize, it would bring a hybrid humanity. He was working for the Superman, the Ubermensch. So they used to have phrenology, the study of the skull. You find bumps and lumps on a person's skull and measure the skull. They had all kinds of measurements and so on. Phrenology, P-H-R-E-N. You look it up. Interesting, you'll see these pictures of a head with like they do with a cow, where they divide it up, and this is the sirloin here, and so on. They have it all divided up in numbers, and then the numbers mean certain things. If you have a bulge here, it means that you're stupid. If you have a bulge there, it means you're super intelligent, you know. They were measuring the evolution of humanity. And so if you came from a highly evolved thing, that you were superior. You were actually superior. You were a better kind of person. Now, you ought to be kind to the lesser ones. Treat them as pets. They're nice, you know. I don't want to be political, but I've always been offended by the Democratic pounding that we have to help the blacks because they can't do it themselves. I just find that offensive. I've known some very successful black people, very intelligent black people, who did not actually need my help at all. In fact, I sort of needed their help. Christians recognize that we are all sinners, because God told us, and we need God's salvation. If we're going to improve, we need to do it God's way. The secular humanists believe there is no absolute truth or all-encompassing morality. You heard the phrase, you know, everybody goes to the beat of a different drummer. You know, you can just imagine how silly that sounds. Hitler, all I know, he's not like the rest of us. He's killing all those Jews and so on. But listen, he's just marching to the beat of a different drummer. He has his morality. You know, he likes dogs. So, I suppose. But, you know, you just excuse it because they don't believe like us. But he has a right to figure it all out himself. I don't think so. Christians know why God gave us marriage and sex. The evolutionists believe there is no reason to feel guilty about anything done with our sexual drive. Just completely up to us. Christians understand that people are to wear clothes because of sin. We didn't start out wearing clothes because there was nothing to be ashamed of. But Adam and Eve needed clothing to cover their shame. And so we consciously and willingly and happily accept modest clothing. Another thing, at a wedding in a church where some of the women coming in, and you had to go, okay, when do I want to look at that, you know? Whole portions exposed with a girl. She was in a blue checked dress that reminded me of of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, except that her entire back, from top down to the bottom of the back, was exposed with a tie across the back. I'm saying, we're going to church for a wedding here. Yeah, that's what I want to wear, you know. I have to keep asking myself, is my understanding of being a Christian and separating from the world, am I just looking at this from my old-fashioned point of view? You know, I was born in the 40s. Come on, you know. I just don't see how, if you have any concept of looking moral rather than immoral, how you can excuse some of these ways of dressing. Christians believe that God sentenced man to work by the sweat of his face until he dies. Now, he says it's for your good. Keep you out of trouble. You stay at work, see. We consider that because God gave him work even before sin. So jobs are noble, but the evolutionist believes in gambling and governmental financial security and revising the work ethic. Let's just pay everybody for living and somehow we'll invent money and give it to everybody. This is the result of evolutionism. Christians believe that children are the heritage of God and a blessing to parents. We enjoy hearing the Von Tunis singing family enjoy that. And some of you catch my literary reference there, but idea of having a family with more than 2.4 kids, just beautiful to see and an example of what can be done. Evolutionists believe that every parent has the right to kill their child with abortion if that child would interfere with their lifestyle. You say, aren't you saying it too strongly? No, because some of them are saying kill them at any stage of development. Some of them are saying all within the first year of their birth, after they're, you know, up to a year old. What's the difference? Take them out. They're just inconvenient. Christians understand that sin is the source of this world's pain and unhappiness. The world wonders, if there's a God, why is there pain? Why is there suffering? Because of your sin. God had to give man a choice in these things because he asked love, and love has to be a choice. So if he determined it, if he made us think one way or the other, then that would be his fault, you see. But this is our fault. Christians understand this. Evolutionists do not recognize any cause and effect relationship of sin and suffering. You do what you do, and then God smacks you down. Now they believe in God. God's judgment. God's a bad guy. Now they believe in God. Christians believe that God wants them to show love and mercy to others. James tells us, using an interesting word of visitation, he says, to visit the widow and the orphan is the characteristic of the true Christian life, because that's love. Love, you're giving to those who can't give back, you see. You're not just inviting the millionaire to your birthday party, you know, out of the kindness of your heart and hope that he'll put you in the will. You're showing kindness and effort to the person who can't pay you back. Evolutionists believe in the survival of the fittest and conquering others for personal benefit. And while they would not say that out loud, we see it in practice with the overthrow of the smaller people and firing of people because they needed to make a bigger profit. Christians believe that since God made man in his image, human life is sacred and murder is always wrong. This is what God said when he invented capital punishment after the flood, dealing with Noah, he said that whoever shall take man's life by man shall his life be taken. Now, since God has told us that life is sacred and that we are not to take it personally, what he meant there was, if the organization of your village or your government or your people ruling over your area, they should be killing the murderers. The fact that we've gone way past that, murderers serve a few years or off on good behavior and get out for another killing spree, as recently happened. We've just lost the whole thing of it because human life isn't that important anymore. So evolutionists hold that for some occasions, mercy killing, suicides, euthanasia are justified, that people ought to be able to end their life as it went. God says, if you take your life, you're committing murder. This is in God's hands, not yours. Christians believe that stealing is wrong, and personal ownership of possessions is a sacred trust that we're going to answer to God how we deal with what he entrusts us with. Secular humanists believe that they may invent forms of government based on socialism and communism, that people can take from you and give to somebody else. Christians believe that God's way is right and should be enforced. Secular humanists must conclude that no one group's vision of right and wrong should be enforced. This is where we're at today. We have, people in the public defender, people that are supposed to be putting people in jail, are saying, well, who's to say they're really wrong, you know? If we were just nicer to them, maybe they wouldn't have killed us all. And so they let them go. After all, it was the society that made them. Society should suffer because of them. Christians know that there's a divine purpose in history and that God will one day judge all the wrongs of this world. Secular humanists believe all things continue as they were from the beginning, just a natural progression of things that will never change. Christians know that the Creator will one day restore creation to its original excellence, partially during the millennial kingdom, and then ultimately in the new heaven and the new earth. Secular humanists believe all things continue. Evolutionists look forward to a day when man will evolve out of his problems. But so far that hasn't happened. Christians look forward to a bright and joyful eternal life, knowing that the sad, corrupt world is not all there is. And evolutionists see life as a never-ending struggle that produces beneficial results only after millions of years of trial and error. If we see why people wanting to become missionaries and preachers have fallen away, because morality has been eaten out from underneath us by the belief in evolution, socialism. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us to discern that words mean things and that saying you believe certain things will urge certain actions in consequence. And so we're living in a day where people think they can say anything and everything, and if it's okay with their group, then no one can dare say anything against it. I ask that you might help us to recognize that this is the cause of the problems and not any kind of solution. By denying you, they're denying reality. And we ask that you might help us to be aware of that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.